Talk Central is brought to you by CloudGate, a micro mega company. All the power of a PC, the flexibility of Android, all at a fraction of the cost. For homework or play, available at takealot.com or cloudgate.co.za for only $1,999.
I'm Richard Verberg.
I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 111 for the weekend starting Friday, 19 September 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter, Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about, what else, the new iPhone and, of course, Apple Watch.
We also chat about Times Media Group's video on demand platform, Vidi.
And as always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but we'll be back right after this message.
What's wrong, honey? You worried about Jess?
Yeah, shame. She seems to do nothing but study lately.
Well, we have installed those new Guardian Eyelight cameras. I can quickly check the app on my phone to make sure she's okay.
Check, please.
Keep an eye on what matters most with Guardian Eyelight from Vox Telecom. An easy-to-install Wi-Fi camera that you can access from any smart device. For more information, SMS your name to 31399 or visit voxtelecom.co.za. Standard SMS rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. Hi, Rachat.
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thanks. So, I guess we're going to be dominated by one subject this week. Has to be.
Yeah.
That's Apple's big September keynote.
Feels like it's been coming for such a long time, and now that we've actually seen it, the rumors were mostly true, and it's almost a bit of a letdown.
Certainly on the iPhone, I think that the rumors were almost spot on. 4.7 inch form factor, 5.5 phablet, pretty much what was anticipated. What's your take though, now that we finally know these sizes? You were an iPhone user until quite recently. You're a fan of the platform. What do you think of Apple's decision to go for a bigger form factor phone? Do you think it's the right move, or do you think they're just playing catch up to the Android campers?
Well, I guess you can always say that they will be playing catch up if they weren't first with a feature, and you can say that from any company, but it's definitely moving in the right direction. We know that iPhone's been needing a bigger screen phone for quite a long time. A lot of users don't like the smaller screen.
But a lot do.
Yes, a lot do. But once I've had my last phone was an iPhone 5, and it was a fine, it was a great phone. But once I've moved to a larger screen, you actually, in comparison to the 4.7, the 4.5, sorry. It's
4.0.
Yeah, you're right.
On the iPhone 5, it's on the 5. Tiny screen, it's 4 inches.
And you realize how small that actually is. Mm. I think a lot of iPhone users will actually appreciate the larger screen.
They just don't know they need it yet.
They just don't know they need it yet.
Apple hasn't.
No, you're right. You're right. It has been a long time coming. I think having two models of two different size screens of one model, I think, is a very good move, and it's something that they had to bring to the party because there's stiff competition out there, and screen real estate is becoming a big thing for a lot of consumers. I take it everybody's going to be buying the larger screen iPhone. It's a new thing.
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of iPhone users, and I've been an Android user for years, and I like big screen devices. My current phone is the LG G3, which is a 5.5 inch display, and I find it a perfect size. Sure, you can't reach the entire screen with your thumb, and you have to shift it around in your hand a bit sometimes to get to parts of the screen you need to, but. I enjoy the form factor, but I speak to a lot of iPhone users, and they say they really like the size of the screen because they can reach just about anywhere on it. There've been a lot of people online and communicated to me personally have said that they hope Apple doesn't go for a bigger phone because they like the 4-inch form factor.
I think we hang out with different crowds, Duncan. Everybody that I've spoken to certainly. I think the techies that I spoke to all would love a bigger screen for many reasons.
I think it's a bit different for men and women as well, because women tend to have smaller hands and different sizes. I personally, I'm quite excited to see this 5.5 inch iPhone. I think it's the perfect form factor, and we'll be certainly keenly using one. I don't know if I'll get one, but I'll certainly try it out when it lands. And I think I'm a big fan of that particular size, and I think it's the way we're going generally. But these bigger phones aren't for everyone. And I think Sony's been quite clever in that space with their Xperia Z2 and Xperia Z3 Compact.
Oh, yes, yes.
Was it the Z1 Compact? I forget now. But it was... it's a great little device. I think it's got a 4.5-inch screen. It's a full-powered, full-featured phone. It's basically a full Z2 or Z3 device crammed into a smaller form factor. It's a
different screen, yeah.
So it's not a mid-tier phone like a Samsung Galaxy S4 or S5. It's a high-end device in a compact form factor. I think that's quite a clever move by Sony. I'm not sure how that device has been selling, but
yeah,
interesting move by Apple. One always has to ask, and it's impossible to answer, but one always has to ask: would Steve Jobs have approved of this, or would he have done this? Yeah,
I don't know. I'm still on the fence on that one. I think I don't know. A lot of time has passed since we've seen Steve Jobs in that role, and you know, a lot of things could have changed. But I don't know if he would have gone for two phones, two different screen sizes. He might have just stuck with one. But either way, I think it's a good move for Apple. The fact that they've moved the power button to the side of the phone makes it easier for one-hand use. They've got a new feature built in where you double-click your home button. It'll shift the screen down. So they're obviously conscious of the fact that the screen might be too big for one-handed use.
I missed some of the keynote because the video on Apple's website kept failing, and I was trying to keep up with live blogs while juggling some other balls at the same time, so I didn't miss some of the announcements. Are they also, what are they doing about the iPhone? The iOS experience is a grid, and it's a grid of icons, really.
Yes, yes.
On that bigger 5.5-inch device, are we just going to have more and more icons, or are they differentiating in some other way? Or the icon's just going to be bigger? How's it going to look?
Well, I didn't say. I think you're going to have an extra grid or extra row in there like you would have had before. So it's the same look and feel. You just have an extra row.
So there's more icons.
But it does support landscape mode now. So like your tablet, if you switch it to landscape mode, the icons will rotate.
Mm.
One thing that I've always wanted Apple to do, and they've never brought this out, is for you to change the size of the icons, or at least scale the spacing between them.
Yes.
That to me has always been a lacking, especially on the iPad where everything just looks out of place, you know, all those icons on the screen.
Indeed. The new iOS 7 and iOS 8 have always looked a bit out of place on iPad, haven't they?
Yeah, it has. Let's hope it's something that iOS 8 addresses. I don't know if it will, but we can always hope. But it is a good-looking device. It's very thin. Some people have compared it to about the thickness of the iPod, the new iPods.
So it's thinner than the iPhone 5S.
Yeah, I know. It is thinner. Mm. It is thinner.
It's quite an engineering achievement because that's already a very thin phone.
Yeah. The only thing that's protruding a bit, and this is something that Steve Jobs might not have approved of as well, is the camera that's protruding a little bit from the body.
Might not, definitely would not have approved of.
But you know, it's something that I'm willing to sacrifice if I know I'm going to get a better camera.
And what's with the camera? 8 megapixels. It seems a bit stingy on Apple's part, isn't it?
Yeah, they threw around some technical jargon saying that on certain landscape pictures you can get up to 43 megapixel photo, but I think that's stitching together multiple pictures.
Oh, and that's with the panorama mode.
Yes, that's panorama. Yeah, that's
it's not the size of the sensor at all. And 8 megapixel seems a little small. I mean, I'm playing around here with the Nokia Lumia 930, which is the new flagship from Nokia, and that's got a 20 megapixel built into it.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know, I think at the low end in the Android world now, you're looking at about a 13 megapixel, 16 megapixel. Yeah. So it does seem a little stingy to put in.
Look, even on the iPhone, the camera was never really the biggest and the best, but the quality of the photographs
takes great pictures. Takes great pictures.
So I think, you know, I'm sure that's how Apple justifies. And if you look at any of their products, you know, they've never necessarily gone for the biggest or the best. They've, you know, the quality of the experience or the quality of the output or the quality of the experience, I guess, would have is top of their mind. Look, I guess we will have to wait and see what the 8 megapixel actually looks like. You know, but. I've never had a problem with Apple's cameras, so no. I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say it'll probably be a good camera. It would still be nice to have something much larger, especially if you're going to be printing it out.
Yeah. I think that's the only... I mean, most pictures which are taken on cell phones are put on Instagram, which is very low resolution.
Yeah, and then you crop in any case.
Or put on Facebook or some other social media. So the only time you're right. The only time you really do need it is if you want to take pictures that you want to print out.
I did like
sometimes. I'm keen to take some of my smartphone pictures and print them on Canvas. And then you really want the highest resolution you can get.
And there's some really good services out there that you just mail your photographs off and they ship your canvas.
Yeah.
I did like, I'm quite looking forward to the slow motion features. It's something that I think a lot of amateur videographers will appreciate, you know, taking slow motion footage of water splashing, kids splashing in the water. I mean, that kind of thing could really look good. So I think good features all around. We'll still need to see and play with it to really make a call on that. But I think it's a good move for Apple.
Mm. And we've got a date on iOS 8 now. It's coming out quite soon.
Yeah, I forget the exact date. 17th September.
17th September. It's next week.
Yeah.
So 5 days from now, from the recording of this podcast. That'll be Tuesday or Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
So that's good news. I must say I'm really looking forward actually to the new macOS. There's no word on when that's coming out yet, except sometime in the fall, so our spring. That's introducing some really interesting new some new features and a complete redesign really of the macOS 10 environment, much flatter look, icons.
Yeah. It's certainly making the ecosystem a lot more appealing again. I would be quite keen to go back to my iPhone 5 just to play around with it for a bit and really see how it's stacked up. I mean, iOS 7 feels like an old operating system now if we think of it.
Yeah, it only came out last year.
Yeah, but I mean, it still looks and feels like its predecessors. So
yeah.
And then, what do you think about the watch? That was
Expected
announcement.
That's the other big one, yeah. That's where there were fewer leaks, I think. But the reason for that is, of course, that they haven't sent it to manufacturing in Asia.
That's
where all the leaks come from, all the Chinese factories.
I think it was a clever move on their part to announce it before Christmas, because people are now going to think twice about going out and buying a watch.
And a smartwatch from someone else, yeah. Early 2015 it'll be available.
Yeah.
I'm underwhelmed. I know you're quite taken with it, but I think they're better looking smartwatches in the market already.
I do agree with you. The Motorola 360 is a much better looking one, but
and the new LG, I forget what it's called, but LG's just brought out that watch which you don't need to pair with a smartphone.
It looks
better too, in my view. But it's when it comes to these things, it's all about your personal preference.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It looks like a little square. It looks like something Samsung would make.
Yeah, it does look a lot like the Gear in some ways, that long oblong square shaped design. I don't know, there's something about it that's intriguing. I like the digital crown. I think
that's clever,
a nice way of interfacing with an operating system. I mean, it's something that's been on watches for forever, analog watches. It looks a bit thick, I do agree, but I saw some reporters that have been playing with the demos after the announcement, and they said it's not as big as what it looks like on the renders, or it's not as thick at least. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. The clasps, the bands are very interesting, the way that they slip in and out of the watch, and the magnetic strap on that.
A gold version? Will you get a gold version?
No, it's too expensive and too bling for my liking.
They haven't announced pricing on it. I mean, the basic version starts at $349. It's very bling. And suggestions are that it's going to be in the region of $1,000. So about 12,000 rand.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
It's a bit steep.
It'll be interesting to see if these smartwatches, and Apple's included, will actually get people to wear watches again. I mean, we don't wear watches. I haven't worn a watch for
Neither have I. I haven't worn one for years. Myself, the moment I got a cell phone, I stopped wearing a watch.
One of my reasons for stopping wearing a watch is a cell phone too, but I've always found that when I type on my notebook, my watch used to scratch my notebook. And
yes, and if we got uncomfortable, I was always pulling the watch back up. You're absolutely right. We ran a piece this week by a columnist with a headline, and I think it summed it up very, very nicely, was that smartwatches are a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah. Look, I still believe that smartwatches, Google Glass, and all these technologies, these wearable technologies, they have to go through these iterations of introducing stuff that we're familiar with, glasses you wear, watches you wear. If they just jump to the space where we have implants in our necks, nobody's going to do that. I think it's a bit of a big jump. But these kind of things introduce technology. I mean, they still have to shrink the tech down to a smaller size, so in three or four generations. But by then, let's say 5 years from now, I think we'll see different products that allow us to wear technology, whether it's shoes or shirts or whatever. Yeah. The technology will be small enough to fit into those form factors, but it might be something completely different. If watches take off, it could be around a lot longer.
The thing that I was thinking about this morning, the thing that really interests me about this announcement is, this was billed as the first big product category that Apple's announced in several years. The first it's done since the iPad, and the first that's been introduced under the new CEO, Tim Cook.
Yes.
Now, if you look back at the big product categories that Steve Jobs introduced, first the, I'm skipping a few, like the iMac, for example.
Yes.
But let's look at the iPod. It was a huge thing. The hype around that was unbelievable. It ended up transforming an industry. The services they built around it with iTunes ended up transforming an industry. Then you had the iPhone, which was another industry transforming event. And the hype around that was actually justified. No one else was producing a device that beautiful, that functional, and that brilliant, frankly. And it was years before the competition caught. They have caught up, but it was years before the competition managed to catch up with what Steve Jobs built there. And then perhaps it was slightly more controversial, but it was also hugely welcomed and sold. I mean, the hype around was also massive, and that was the iPad. It was perhaps not industry changing. It certainly had a big impact. And I think the PC industry has felt it in a big way. Now we have, 4 years later, we have the Apple Watch. And I just find that the level of hype and excitement around this is far less than those last three products, which suggests to me that this isn't going to be the same success that those products were for Apple.
Yeah, this certainly seems to be more of a
there's a lot of referral
technology versus a groundbreaking technology like the iPad or the iPhone was.
Yeah.
I agree. But I think Apple has a way of doing things that is less likely to fail than many other manufacturers, simply because I think that they put a lot more effort and design effort and maybe some...
They do.
Some
but they've had failures in the past. Remember the Newton?
Well, that was a while ago.
Yeah, back in the 80s. But the fact is that... And that was under Steve Jobs. They've had product categories that have failed.
But more recently... There hasn't been many.
I
can't remember anything in the last 10 years that was a failure from Apple.
No.
Look, this could be the first thing we see.
I don't think it's going to fail. I don't think it's going to fail. I think there's enough interest out there. I think there's enough interest amongst the Apple faithful that they're guaranteed to sell millions, if not tens of millions, of this product. But whether it's going to be an industry reshaping product, I'm quite a lot more skeptical about that.
My fiance was saying something interesting when we were watching the keynote, because for the first time she was interested in something like this because it's an Apple announcement.
Yeah.
When we were looking at the watches, she said that she's more likely to trust an Apple watch than, because I was showing her the other watches available as well, the look and feel and specs, than a Motorola watch or any of the other Android watches, because of the brand affinity that she has, or the trust that she has with an Apple product. And that, I think, speaks volumes for a lot of people that would... I mean, my folks, for example, have an iPad. They recently got an iPad, and they took to it quite easily. It's easy for them to pick this up and use it as a computer versus their notebook. Mm. And if you look at any other consumer out there that has got an iPhone or iPad, they know the brand, they trust the brand.
Yeah.
It's easier for them to go to an Apple Watch. I guess you can say the same for a Samsung user, but... The love that people have for the Apple brand, I think, is very strong. And like she said, you know, she would trust an Apple Watch over any other device because she knows the brand very well. She likes the look and feel of the other product, so why wouldn't she like this? It's interesting. I think we'll always have a split group between the Androids and the iOSs. Mm.
But in the 80s, this used to be a discussion about Mac versus Windows, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now it's a discussion of Apple versus Android, or Apple versus Android, I think, is the main competition out there.
Yeah.
Certainly in the mobile computing space.
It's going to be interesting. I look forward to seeing how this plays out. I would love to hold one and see really how it works. I still don't think that I would get one. I don't wear a watch to begin with.
I won't. No, I mean, you're crazy to get one now. I think that it would be like buying the first iPhone. You know, it's in a year or two, you're going to have buyer's remorse, if not even sooner. I think in three iterations or four iterations of this product, it's gonna be look really interesting. I think that, first of all, I'm not going to buy one because I'm not an iPhone user and I have no intention of becoming an iPhone.
Well, you need an iPhone to use it.
You have to have an iPhone to use it, which I think is a failing. I think that the real success in these products is going to come from standalone devices. But then perhaps Apple just sees this as an extension of its iPhone. It's an accessory more than anything else. It's like you'd go and buy a cell phone cover. Oh, I'll have a cell phone cover with my iPhone, and give me the iWatch as well.
Also, I think the technology needs to mature, but I mean, if they were to put 3G and cellular technology into the watch so that it becomes a standalone device, battery life would be, I think, virtually nothing. 1 hour, maybe two.
But LG's done that, and I'd be very interested to... to know to get some insight into the battery life on that product that they've developed.
Mm.
Samsung has got a standalone one now as well. Doesn't have
3G. Doesn't have cellular technology built.
No, it does. It does.
You put a SIM card in.
It's either the Samsung or the LG. They've just announced in the last week or two, just before the Apple keynote. Obviously, they knew what was coming, so they tried to muddy the water a bit. But it was either Samsung or LG that introduced a smartwatch that has a SIM card in it, or has cellular capacity in it. I don't know if it's a virtual SIM card or a real SIM card that you put into. But they definitely have one. But anyway, let's see if we can get a review, actually. It would be interesting to try it out. If the battery life is going to die before the day is over, then the product has failed.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But if it lasts more than a day, and preferably 2 days or more, then they may have something successful on their hands. That's the biggest challenge with these things. You know, I wear a watch from time to time because I'm a runner, and I like to track my runs, so I use a Garmin GPS watch. If I want to track my runs and I've got one of these smartwatches on, I don't want to carry my cell phone with me as well.
Yeah.
It just seems like I'm carrying two devices for what purpose? If I want to use my device for something, then I just want to carry that, and I want to leave my phone behind. I'm probably thinking of a particular use case for these sort of devices. But unless it's got an integrated GPS, it's not really going to suit my needs.
I think we'll have to wait 2 or 3 generations before we get the ideal smartwatch for those kind of purposes. And
I think the biggest challenge is the battery life. And unless we can get an amazing battery packed into a tiny little space in these watches, I think that innovation in the space may actually be crimped. It's difficult to see how we're going to have a revolution in battery technology in the next couple of years that's going to allow this to happen.
Yeah, let's wait and hope. It's been a problem that we've had for a long time.
Unless we, Apple introduces a special hat with solar panels on the top and you plug it into your watch.
Well, a solar powered strap could work.
A solar powered strap, yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, anyway. Let's move on. Apple wasn't the only news this week, although it did dominate. the other big story we want to talk about this week is the launch of the VD, video on demand platform by Times Media Group, a company that used to be known as VUSA, and before that as Times Media Limited. Big newspaper publishing house. They've under new management. Andrew Bonnemore is the CEO. They're really shifting direction. They're trying to move away from their reliance on things like newspapers. They sold some of their what they deem non-core assets. They sold New Metro Cinemas. They sold exclusive books. They're keeping their newspaper assets like Business Day and the Sunday Times, but they're increasingly expanding into the broadcasting space. And they've bought a number of radio station assets in the past year, and they bought some other broadcasting assets up in, I think it was Ghana.
Yeah, Ghana.
East Africa as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And also some radio assets here in South Africa. Now they're making a move into not the broadcasting space, but certainly the video entertainment market, with the launch of VIDI. And we've actually broken all the stories on this since it started. Rechard, you have. It's launched now. What's your, you've played with it, you've used it.
Yeah,
are you impressed with it in terms of the quality and the content?
Look, let me start off by saying that it's great to have the first official version. I don't have to have any other subscription to be able to make use of this, which is great. I think that's a good enough reason to try this.
Yeah.
But if you compare this to something like Netflix, which I've been using for a few years now, it's not as slick. Doesn't have as many titles,
yeah,
but it's certainly a start. It's there's a lot of movies on there that I can watch or watch again and enjoy. There's a lot of TV shows on there. Most of them I've seen, but as an early adopter, I've had Netflix for a while, so we've had access to those things. I think it's something that many users would be very happy with. It's a good service. It works well. Streaming works well. It's quite. There's no buffering. It loads up quite quickly.
On what internet connection?
Well, I've got a 10 meg at home.
Okay.
But I've tried it. When I was trying it here at the office as well. We've got a 8 meg now, but on the 6 meg, it was also pretty decent.
Yeah.
Because the content distribution network is local, so that's obviously a good thing. The interface isn't as slick, like I said. There's one or two glitches. Some of the images just look a bit stretched.
It doesn't look bad though. I'm looking at it on your screen here now at the moment, and I see what you mean by the stretching, but it's not bad. It's kind of Netflix-ish.
Teething issues. Yeah, it's Netflix-ish.
Mm.
Look, for 149 Rand, it's the kind of thing that you can do without having to set up a VPN, which immediately makes it impossible for most people to make use of a service like this. You do need a computer hooked up to your TV to be able to watch this. There's no set-top box available, so that's probably another limiting factor, but it's something that can be fixed quite easily with a cable if you are so inclined to.
I'm surprised they don't have a set-top box solution. It's so easy to do. You just have something like a little Chromecast-type device with your software loaded on, and off you go.
Let's hope they've got it in the works for phase 2 or phase 3, maybe hoping to see what the uptake of this is. But a lot of people have been asking for a set-top box for that reason. It works well enough on an iPad. The applications that they need to launch on an iPad using the web interface, they're still launching the iTunes app, which is apparently in for approval now. And the Android app needs a lot of work because it's just an HTML, HTML app, essentially. I think it's a great service. It works very well. Movies are fairly priced at 27 Rand for new releases.
That's from the TVOD. We should just explain that there are two components to this, SVOD and TVOD. SVOD stands for subscription VOD, where you pay 149 Rand a month, and that gives you access to, let's call them, current and older TV shows and also older movies.
Yes.
If you want access to the latest blockbuster movies that have just come off the cinema circuit, the ones that haven't even got onto the onto the video stores yet, if there are any video stores still left, then you're going to pay a fee up to 27 Rand to rent those. And down to, I think it's for 15.
Yeah, so there's two prices, 15 and 27.
Yeah.
Movies on the subscription service are generally about 2 years old. That is the license, that's a licensing thing. So they would have been on circuit about 2 years old. 2 years ago, but there's some nice titles on there. Obviously, the next move for them would be to add a lot more titles. I would love to see a lot more in terms of TV shows and movies. I think if they can,
I think Netflix clearly has a lot more. Netflix isn't available, so perhaps we should in South Africa. So maybe it's a little unfair to compare it.
Yeah,
to.
No, of course.
But a lot of people do watch Netflix in South Africa. It's actually fairly trivial these days to get around the content restrictions. And you know, especially if you buy one of these services like MediaHint or use which one do you use again?
Strong VPN.
They're fairly easy to set up, and I suspect that we'd be amazed if we actually knew how many Netflix people in South Africa were subscribing to services like Netflix and Hulu. So they are actually a competitor, even if they aren't strictly legal. Although we'd need to get a legal opinion on whether they're actually legal or illegal to use in South Africa, but they are competition, and you know, Netflix has got a massive content library.
Yeah, they've got a massive. When I was speaking to Andrew Gill, I was interviewing him before the launch.
He's the head of broadcast at TMG.
Yes, he did. I mean, he did mention that, you know, content. Obviously, any content player like this is incredibly expensive. For them to start up a library like Netflix would cost them
massive,
a lot of money. But this is where they need to prove themselves over the next few months. I mean, if they can really. I mean, there's a lot of titles on there now. I think it'll keep people happy for the next month or two. But if they will be adding content every month. Mm-hmm. And if that's quality content and they can keep up the pace, I can certainly see within 6 months that there'll be a lot more value here for users. And by that time, this would have been well entrenched in the market and people would know about it.
For sure. And I think it's good that they came to market first. I think there is a lot to be had for first mover advantage in this space. And there's no doubt that there are more players in this VOD space coming. In fact, I'm currently under a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't say anything more, but there will be more news on the VOD front very soon.
So
I think first mover advantage is going to count for a lot, even if it is by a matter of only a few weeks.
Holiday viewing this year is certainly going to be a lot better than what we've had previous years.
Indeed. And if you're not a sports fan, it's starting to become easier to cancel that pay TV subscription potentially. MultiChoice is a brilliant operator, and you're going to get access to a lot more content than you're going to get through these VOD services for the moment. If you're not a big television viewer and you just want ad hoc access to occasional movie rental, or you want to, you know, just catch up on a show, and you're not too worried about having everything available to you, then and this is definitely an option, especially given the price.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I would certainly recommend this to my parents because it's easy enough for them to set up and watch on their laptop. And I would be quite confident that they won't have any issues. If they do, they phone the local call center essentially, and they'll get help. It's going to start a tough competition in the next few months, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the other guys are bringing to the market.
For sure.
Can only get better.
Watch the space, as they say.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that covers the news for this week. As always, we pick our winner and loser. Racha, do you want to start with the winner this week?
Yeah, so the winner is we could not pick anybody else but Apple. I think they've done some an interesting announcement. Whether it plays off for them in the long run, we'll have to see. I think it's a good strategy. I think it will play off for them. If they've done a bit of disruption in the smartwatch industry, it will be a good thing. If they don't, if they fall flat in their face, it'll also be a good thing because then the other guys can get a piece of that pie. But yeah, our winner this week is Apple.
Oh, we're sitting outside recording this podcast. An amazing bird that's just landed. You can probably hear it on the microphone. I think it's a kingfisher, but I know much about birds. I stand to correction.
You got an app for that.
Small digression, yeah. Our loser this week is SLC. I think we spoke about it briefly on the show last week, and that's the new termination rate proposal from ICASA, which really, if after you've had a good analysis of it, really is bad news for SLC. Termination rates, of course, if anyone doesn't know yet, are the fees that the operators are allowed to charge each other to carry calls between their networks. And until the end of September, Cell C is enjoying a very high level of asymmetry or benefit, whereby they pay much less to Vodacom and MTN for calls than they receive for calls in the other direction. And I think that figure was sitting at something like 125%, somewhere around there. That figure under ICASA's new proposal on the 1st of October will fall to 50%. That's a massive decline. And will fall again from March next year, and again for each successive year, by a large percentage. It's still higher than what they were enjoying before the current rates came in on the 1st of April this year, but it's certainly significantly below what the rates were or are at the moment. So it's a difficult position that Cell C is in. They've suggested that they're considering their options, which is slang for we may sue them. they're considering legal action potentially against ICASA over this move. But if ICASA has done its job right, I have to think that they finally have, after the High Court gave them a lecture, and after they got access to the numbers they needed to come up with these termination rates, that Cell C will probably have quite a difficult job in challenging this in court. I guess they'll have to consider it carefully and get legal advice, but certainly Cell C is the loser out of this whole process. And I think it's very unfortunate that it makes it difficult for them to make decisions. If ICASA is one moment giving them 125% asymmetry, the next minute taking it away again, it's very unfair and it puts them in a really difficult position. But I also think that Cell C perhaps needs to accept that they're still getting a very good level of asymmetry here at 50%. It's very unusual for a player that's been in the market for so long, as MTN and Vodacom so often point out, to enjoy asymmetry. So perhaps they should thank their lucky stars that they're going to have it indeed for the next 3 years, and put their heads down and really focus on building a differentiated product in the market that consumers really want. But they're in a difficult position at the moment, and for that I think they are our loser of the week, not because they've done anything wrong, but because they have been put into this position by their regulator. All right, what's your pick this week, Richard?
I came across a nice little web-based app called PickDeck. Pickdeck.co is the URL. Now, essentially what this is, it's like TweetDeck for what TweetDeck is to Twitter. PickDeck is a plugin for Instagram, essentially. So what it allows you to do is, once you connect to the web service, which is in a browser, you can actually split your Instagram feed into columns, much like you would do using TweetDeck. Anybody that knows TweetDeck will know what I'm talking about. But essentially it gives you columns that you can specify either your Instagram feed, so that'll be on the one column, and then you can specify other hashtags or other users. And then within those columns, the feed will update as new photographs get added. It's not something I think I'll use every day, but it's a great way to enjoy Instagram. So the days that when I do go up in the evenings, perhaps, you can see everything at a glance. If you have specific hashtags that you follow, it's much easier to follow them using PickDeck than the native Instagram app or even the web-based service. So yeah, that's my pick, PickDeck.co, and it's well worth a try.
Great. My pick this week is a phone I've been using for the last couple of days, and that's the new Nokia Lumia 930.
And it is quite luminous at the back, isn't it?
It is quite luminous, yes. Bright orange. It comes in three colors. I'm not really sure about the choice of colors that Nokia came up with, this black, like a kind of cyan color and, mm. and extreme luminous orange. I kind of like it though. It stands out. It certainly tells people around you that you're using something different.
Yeah.
But man, Nokia can still make good phones. The design on this thing is amazing. It looks like something Apple would have made, except perhaps even better. It's just this beautiful design, minimalist design. It's solid in the hand. I'm not sure what screen size is. It looks like about 4.5 or 4.7 inches, or perhaps even 5 inches. I think it's actually a 5-inch device. Full 1080p display. And the more I play with Windows Phone, the more I like it. It's really, really does look good. The tile interface on this high, bright, high-resolution screen is really good. But my only reservation, once again, and I really would love to move to a Windows Phone device. I really like the interface. I really like what Microsoft has done with it. And I really love Nokia hardware. But once again, the lack of apps, although it has improved dramatically in recent years, still holds me back. For example, when I installed this thing, one of the first things I wanted to do was install Strava, which is my app I use for my running.
Mm.
It's a social app for runners and cyclists, and it's not there. You come across these little frustrations. Oh, I love it. I need that app. And these are cornerstone apps. These are things that the operating system really needs to have if it's going to be successful. So while Microsoft has really done a lot right here, and I think this phone from Nokia is one of the best I've ever used, unfortunately, that app question is still an issue. And while I think that it's almost there, I think they still need to get over that final 5% hurdle.
And then it is.
It's a contender with the iPhone, and it's a contender with the best Android has to offer.
I agree. I've also always liked the new Windows Phone operating system. And it's always looked really nice, worked really well. But the applications have been a big problem. I think they just need to suck it up and get Android apps compatibility on there, it'll be a good platform. It'll really be a good platform.
Great. Well, that's my pick of the week, a Nokia Lumia 930. I'm going to play with this for a couple of weeks, perhaps even try and make it my primary device for a while.
And
see how it goes, yeah. Anyway, that was an action-packed show. Thanks for listening to it. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, please send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, have a great weekend. Enjoy the springtime. And from Rechad and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.